family, where we serve one Lord, one faith. And we know that there is one baptism. Scripture says there's one God and Father of all, who's above all and most important. He is in us all. For that reason, praise the Lord. Amen. Truly, we just thank God this afternoon for his goodness and mercy. And like I said, I don't know who is for the prayer. Amen. I don't know if it's someone here or someone that's not here. But we have to learn to be obedient to God. God says, pray, it's time to pray. Amen. So we don't know who the prayer was meant for, but we believe that God intervened in whatever the situation is. Now, I tend to believe it was for someone that's not here because it felt an urgency, like there was a special kind of danger. Amen. So we know that God, how many know that God knows all things?
Yes, he does.
Amen. Yeah. The scripture says, our God ruleth in the kingdom of men. So we know that God knows, amen. And you know, I remember as a child and growing up, my mom used to always say, I can't be there with you, but I can send somebody who can go anywhere.
Right.
I said, there are times when your loved one can't be where you are. But we can send God, and he can go anywhere at any time. What's so great about having God on your side? The scriptures say he neither slumbers nor sleeps. I said God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. I want to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 Kings chapter 18. Amen. We're going to read verses 21. We'll conclude by reading verse 30 together of 1 Kings chapter 18. Amen. Start with verse 21. How many know that God is a good God?
Amen.
How many can honestly say, if it had not been?
Amen.
Psalmist. We're doing one little reflection moment. Amen. I'm sure not only did he think about the time that he had God, but mostly important, he thought about the times that he did not have God in his life. And the psalmist reflected back. And he saw the danger, amen. He saw the times that he was in some critical situations, but God delivered. So the psalmist, as he sat there musing and meditating and thinking on God's goodness, he concluded this way. He said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I said, if it had not been,
I know NASA and I know our scientists and they can do a lot, but they cannot
stop the whole universe.
Hallelujah.
Amen. For the sundial to go back 10 degrees, that means God had to stop everything and rotate it back 10 degrees. And I was talking to Deacon Joe afterwards, you know, how many know the earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour? You don't feel it because we're part of the inertia. So we don't feel the fact that right now, for the world, earth is going to complete revolution, is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. Amen. So for God, he has to keep everything in perfect balance. That's why the scripture says, let everything be done decently and in order. Because God keeps in order. Well, when he stopped the earth, amen, he had to also stop gravity and inertia. Because if he stopped it and reversed it, and everything was going 1,000 miles the other direction, everything would be demolished. Amen. Nothing would be here now. So he had to stop everything. And well, I don't know a lot of scientific stuff. Because I did go to school once upon a time. But they say gravity is 9.8 meters per second. Or if you fall, when you fall from any height, you fall at 32 feet per second. God had to keep all that in perfect balance to reverse the earth.
Yeah.
And the day that Joshua asked God for the sun to stand still, and just imagine, everything is going to fall at 1,000 miles per hour, everything. And God stops. That means God had to stop everything. Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Pluto, everything, the Milky Way, the galaxy. Oh, that's why there's no God. Talking or he is pursuing. Father God, it's once again that we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, it's once again we thank you for being in the house of prayer. Father God, on this afternoon, our request, Lord, is that you send down thine anointing.
Yes, Lord.
For Lord, we realize that only your mighty anointing can destroy the yoke. Lord, only your anointing can set the captive free. Lord, only your anointing can open the eyes of the blind spiritually. Lord, those that have given you a deaf ear, only your anointing can open their ears. Lord, only your anointing can help us to walk right, talk right, and do the right thing. So Lord, we need your help this afternoon. So we ask you to sit down and anoint. For thy servant humbly confesses before thee that without you, Lord, we can do nothing. And Lord, if you do not come by here and leave us a blessing, all of our labor and effort is in vain. Lord, now we ask you for your anointing and a blessing. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. And you may be seated. How many really believe in their heart that there's no God like our God?
Hallelujah.
How many really believe that there's no God like our God?
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is one of those times in Israel's history when they had drifted away into spiritual decadence. Amen. Now you would think with all that God had done in their lives, all the wonderful deliverance, even the Gideon, it said, Lord, where are all the miracles that we used to hear about? Amen. He was beginning on the people of God at that time when the book of Judges was losing confidence in God because they did not see, but yet God was still faithful. And God was still there. Well, this is in the process of time, Israel was not drawing closer to God, but they were getting further away. Amen. They had begun to mix holiness and righteousness with worldliness. So when you looked at Israel, you couldn't tell who was in church or who was out of church. Amen. Israel, at this time in their life, would represent what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. They would represent the Laodicean church, which is the last church age before the Lord comes back. They wouldn't make a stand for God one way or the other. Amen. They wanted the best of both worlds. Amen. They wanted God, but they also wanted to be able to dip and dab in the things that were not of God. The Bible refers to that type of thinking or those type of people as lukewarm. God said, I would that you are either cold or hot. Amen. He said, because you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In the world today, the church is losing its identity. Saints don't talk like saints anymore. Saints don't walk like saints anymore. Saints don't dress like saints anymore. I ain't gonna fuss, I'm just trying to bring you up to where we at. So don't leave me by myself. Amen. Hallelujah. But he used what Elijah was telling. He said, there was a time when you could look at the people of God and you knew who they were. Just was the case of Obadiah when he saw Elijah. He said he fell down and worshiped. Because the Bible said he knew who he was. We don't want to be, the Bible said we don't want to be a friend of the world. Because if we are a friend of the world, we become the enemy of God. Well, that brings us up to the children of Israel. Now, they are practicing more idolatry than they are practicing God. They're following more in the ways of Baal than they are in God. Verse 21 reads, and Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long? How long? How long? Halt ye between
two opinions.
Now I heard the Lord Jesus say, you cannot serve. Amen. The same spiritual crisis in the Old Testament, the Lord addresses in the New Testament. He said, you cannot serve two masters. This afternoon, church, we cannot serve We cannot halt between. And now this word halt means, in the Hebrew, means to dance with two partners. Amen. This word halt means to dance with two partners. So our message this afternoon is you can't dance with God and the devil. Amen. You cannot dance with God and the devil. He said, how long halt ye between? But when you're lukewarm and you don't make a stand for God, and later on it said, the people what? When he answered. You know, have you ever pictured heaven and eternity? Have you ever pictured heaven and eternity? Would the compromise to dance with the devil be worth the forfeit of heaven? I'm dancing with the Lord. I will not dance with two masters. The greatest example of this is something that happens too often in the world today. To dance with two masters, meaning that we have entered into a covenant relationship with God. Just like a husband and wife enters into a covenant relationship. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's what it should be, because that's the way it was from the beginning. The man's supposed to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his
wife,
not the rest of the family. Amen?
Amen.
I feel I'm messing around a little bit, but I'm going to get to where we need to be.
Right.
Amen. But we're trying to distinguish between what it means to be a child of God and to dance with God and try to dance with the devil and God. So the scenario is this. I'm not going to use anybody, including myself, because I ain't getting in no trouble. But somebody somewhere is married, husband and wife, and they've committed to each other through holy matrimony and through vows. And they said, we will not leave till... Now, please don't read this wrong, all right? This is a scenario, all right? We will not leave until death do us part. But in the relationship, some attraction pulls one of the two towards another individual, whether the woman to another man or the man to another woman. So in this pulling or tugging, because the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with sin and neither tempted any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own. So when you don't keep your lust in check, you're tempted. And then lust, when it's conceived, bring it forth. Then sin, when it's finished, bring it forth. Well, what happens is you start watching and looking at stuff that you shouldn't be looking at. You start making some comparisons, some things that you should not be making comparisons to. So as a result of this, you start tipping and slipping.
That one's supposed to come out quite right. So.
But you start tipping and slipping. Amen. And yes, you love your spouse, but you got somebody on the side. This is what was going on in Israel. Yes, Israel loved God, but they were drawn away. Their lust had them craving some things that were not of God. So they halted between two opinions. Amen. I spent 5 days with my wife, and Lot spent 2 days.
Now, I shouldn't say wife, but with the other, you know, it's with the spouse, all right? Because I don't want nobody to think I'm picking on them.
I can pick on me, because I know where I stand. I know who I believe in. Hey, man, there's no doubt that my wife is one and only, and number one.
Hallelujah.
So I know where I stand, and I'll never dance with another partner. Hallelujah. But what happens in the world today? We get tempted of our own lusts, and we start dancing. You know how you all are. You know when before you got saved, amen, and you went to a party, and you were dancing with the one you love, but you're really on the side was sneaking and dancing with another partner. Does that help you understand it better? Well, that's what's happening in church today. We've entered into a covenant relationship with God, but we're dancing with another partner. We cannot make a true committal one way or the other. So Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. We cannot dance with God and the devil. So he asked him, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now it's bad when you have a covenant and the husband asks the wife and the wife asks the husband and they can't answer. Well, that's the church today.
Jesus.
When we got saved, we entered into a covenant relationship with God. And the Bible calls us the what? Bride of Christ. As a bride, we are spouse to one husband, who is Jesus. Our full committal should be to Jesus. Amen. But for some reason, maybe the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life is drawing our attention away from God. Amen. And now we have become a friend of the lover of the things of this world. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot dance with God and the devil. You got to make a decision. So they couldn't even answer a word this afternoon in your life and in my life. Who are you dancing with? Amen. You don't have to hide it from me. God knows. God knows when you came to the holy dance. We don't make no reference to the world because we're in church. God knows when you came to church, hallelujah, and you were singing the songs of God and you were dancing with God. But then God saw when you slipped on the other side. Amen. And they played some other music. And you were in for a little while and you danced with the devil. And then after a little while, you got tired of dancing with him and you ran back over to the church to the holy music and you danced with God. The Bible said, no, you got to make a choice. This afternoon, you have to make a choice. How long halt ye between two opinions? Amen. If the Lord be God, then serve him. Don't allow the attractions of this world, amen, to pull you away from God. The devil will use any and everything to distract us. Well, what's the purpose? He's trying to get you to get a part of both worlds. Well, the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 14, starts talking about the church of Laodicea. And it concludes with, when you don't make a stand for God, he will what? Spew you out of his mouth. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to be hot. Amen. Lord, clothe me with the zeal. Clothe me with zeal. Lord, clothe me with righteousness. Lord, clothe me with holiness. Lord, whatever you have to do, I refuse. Hallelujah. Let them play all that ungodly music. But I refuse to dance with the devil. Well, when you're dancing with the devil, you're really covering up what's really going on. Now, anybody that cheats on their spouse, and I got one wife right here. Y'all see this? One wife. One wife. Ain't planning on cheating nowhere. Ain't planning on looking nowhere else. Amen. I got one wife. So I don't plan on cheating. Amen. Y'all understand that? It's bad. I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm not in this scenario. It's bad when you got that one wife. But when the cat's away, the mouse is doing a whole lot of playing. Amen? You cannot dance with God and the devil. You got to make a choice. Amen. We come to church and we hear the word of God. And indeed, is it finding a lodging place in our hearts? Amen. When we leave church, where does our mind go? Where does our focus go? Where does our attention go? So was the case of children of Judah. They got to the point, if you drop down to verse 30, just to save some time in between. What happened was Elijah gave the false prophets a chance to go first. He said, the morning sacrifice was at 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, you all can go ahead and call on your God first. And the God, see, this is what happens in church sometimes. We get so used to signs. Now, when he asked them to make a stand, they couldn't do anything. He said, but the God answered by fire, let them be God. The people said, amen. You know, God, you don't have to do anything else in my life. You've done enough already. I don't need you to do anything else, Lord. You've done enough already for me to make a stand. So they said, he said, well, the God answered by fire. They said, amen. Because then that means that they, not by faith anymore, but it's marked by what? Sight. The church no longer walks by faith, but they always got to see something. Amen. Lord, I don't have to see anything else. The day that you took my sin-sick soul and washed it in your precious blood and took me from a hell-bound road and put me on a heaven-bound road, you did enough. And Lord, then the most miraculous thing after you washed, what sense does it make to take somebody's black soul, black signified stain of the guilt of sin, and dip it in red blood, and then come out white as snow? But that's what God did for every last one of us. Amen. And then he went beyond that. Hallelujah. After he cleansed us up, he said, now that vessel's empty. Amen. Something always occupies an empty vessel. So God said, I refuse to leave them empty. So after I clean them up, after I wash everything, he said, I'm going to deposit myself in them. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost, evident by speaking in another tongue. So God said, I'm going to put myself in them, and then from that point on, I'm going to lead and guide them into all truth. So if you have the Holy Ghost, God is trying to lead you. But you're dancing with too many partners. Amen. Now, when you're committed, you do anything for that individual. Amen. Paul talks about it in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I wasn't planning on going this way, but I'm going to hit here. Amen. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, the man ought to love the woman the way Christ loved the church. Well, how much did Christ love the church? He gave all. Husbands, you got a responsibility. You love your wife, you can't deal with that little stuff. You're supposed to be able to give. But then the woman ought to honor the man like the church honors Christ. We have a responsibility. Stop dancing with God and the devil. You got to make a stand. You have to be committed. So the prophets of Baal, they called on their God from 9 in the morning until the evening sacrifice, which was 3 in the afternoon. So for, what's that, 6 whole hours, they were calling on their God and nothing happened. But then Elijah said, okay, now it's my turn. You know, maybe, and this is what I like about God, he said, maybe your God is pursuing, or he's tied up with somebody else. Well, one thing about our God, who we trust in him, he's never too busy to hear your humble cry. I heard somebody say, while on others are calling, Lord, please. Lord, please. Don't pass. Amen. The good thing about our God is that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. His ears are ever open unto the prayers of the righteous. Lord, I'm doing all I can to be right in your eyes. I don't care what anybody else sees, Lord, in my private time. I refuse to dance with the devil. I refuse, hallelujah, I'm only dancing with God. So he lied. He said, you know what? You wasted enough of our time. Let's get down to business. Anybody want to get down to business? I said, anybody want to get down to business? Hallelujah. So he lied. The first thing that he had to do in order to get back with God, verse 30 said, he repaired the broken down altars. The way it used to be. The way you used to pray. The commitment you used to have. We can't go forward to get you right till we reestablish what it takes to be right. Amen. I cannot pray or put my sacrifice on an unholy or an ungodly altar. So he had to reestablish what they already knew. Sometimes I don't know, you do know. Because the Bible said God loves us. Yeah. Amen. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. If God's grace to bring salvation has appeared unto all, that means it's appeared unto you. Amen. But the conflict, to you making a stand for God, I want to be in church, but there's some things that I cannot give up. Yes, I want to be saved and go to heaven, but there's some things I cannot give up. I love that song, I'll Walk Around Heaven. I said, I'll walk around heaven. Amen. Lord, whatever I have to give up. Amen. If I have to live in a hut, walk and ride in a horse-driven buggy, amen. If I have to wear burlap clothes, Lord, I don't care. As long as I walk around heaven. Why? Because I'm passing from this time. And a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that we possess. Well, when you're dancing with God and the devil, hallelujah, yeah, you start focusing on the possessions. We start focusing on the pride of life, our accomplishments. Amen. And then we can't really make a commitment to have a one-on-one relationship with God because we're dancing with God and the devil. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you serve two masters, eventually you're going to choose one and despise the other. But before you can make that choice, Jesus and the Word of God said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it. So what we're saying today, you got to make a stand. You cannot dance with the world and the church. You cannot have the best of both worlds and be pleasing to God.
Amen.
God says, I see you right where you are.
Right where you are.
God said with me, there is no hiding place. Amen. He said, you cannot cover this because I know. Amen. Now, when the husband or the wife finds out that the other one has cheated, they are crushed. They are crushed. How much with God? See, because the difference between God as our husband and any other husband and wife is he's watching us all the time. God said, when you went there, I saw you. Amen. When you sent all those private texts, God said, I intercepted. When you were on the computer playing all that foolishness, God said, amen. When you spoke in code, God said, there's not a code that I do not understand. So God said, I see and I know.
Yes.
And I'm keeping a record.
Oh, my God.
On the day of judgment, when we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says the books will be open. We will not be able to tell God where he, she, they, or whatever deceived me. God said, no, because my grace was there to help you. The difference between grace and help is in order for grace to help you, you have to accept. God never makes any of us do anything. Somebody say, well, God, no, God won't make you. Salvation is a free moral choice. Amen. Choose the bread of sincerity and truth, and not the bread of insincerity and wickedness or deceit. You cannot dance with God and the devil. Amen. I don't care what tweet things the devil is whispering in your ear. I don't care what sweet temptations the devil gives you when you're away from God. It's time to make a decision. How long? How long?
Yes. Thank you,
how long?
Jesus.
Hold you between two opinions this afternoon. As for me in my house, I can't tell you what you're going to do, but I can tell you what I'm going to do. And you know what? Every time we open our mouth, we're going to be tried. So I know this. Amen. But I know where my help comes from. I'm not making an empty statement, but I'm standing on God and His Word. I said I'm not making an empty statement. I'm standing on God and His Word. But as for me and my house, we're going to dance with God. Who is your dance partner? Amen. Yes, I dance with them in church. But who do you dance with when we leave church?
Jesus.
Yes, we dance with God in church. But who do we dance with once we leave church? As we all stand this afternoon. How long halt ye between what? Two gods. How long is it going to take you to make a stand and a commitment of faith to God? God sees us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. The Bible says He knows our down sittings and He knows our uprisings. God even knows our thoughts are far off. And the scripture says there's not a word in our tongue, but God knows it all together. I mean, where are you going to go? He besets us before, He besets us behind. Amen. He said, if you ascend up into heaven, God says, I'm there. Even if we make our beds in hell, God is there. I would encourage you this afternoon, dance with God. Don't try to play or have the best of both worlds. Eventually, the real you will come out. Amen. Don't hide, hallelujah, in the shelters of falsities and hypocrisy. It's time to be real with God. Listen, don't fear me. That's what the Bible says. Fear not man, because man has nowhere to put you. But the scripture said we ought to fear God, who has power to both cast into hell and to destroy. But we ought to fear Him who's able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell, that is God. As we are prepared to approach the altar, we've heard many words from God. We've come to the altar many times. But the problem once we leave the altar, we continue to dance with the devil. It's about choices. It's about choices. This afternoon, choose ye, O ye self-serving, in the name of the Lord.